give me a heart that's filled with love, and make me more like you.
God bless you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that we could become more like you this evening. I pray that something that we could say, something that we could do, would be pleasing to you. We rely on you for the ministry of your word, and we ask you to be with us, and to teach us, and to help us grow into the stature of a perfect man. Lord, to the fullness of your body, so that you can come. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. All right. We're going to start in the beginning of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, and we trust the Lord will bless us. Genesis chapter 4. And if you'd like to stand, we'll just read a couple of verses out of Genesis chapter 4. And then we'll get into the subject this evening. And in verse 25 of Genesis chapter 4, it says, "And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." May the Lord bless his word, and you may be seated. And I haven't really settled on a title for this. But I think it's going to be something like searching for an encounter, or searching for an experience, searching for God. And there's something in a human, and we can see it right from the very beginning. As soon as you get that second son born to Adam and Eve, Seth, and then he has another son, there's a second generation, then begin men to call upon the name of the Lord. And what are they searching for? They're searching for an experience with God. They're searching for a relationship with God. They're searching for something that goes beyond the natural experience that we all have. We all walk around from day to day and we have natural experiences, but we know that there's something beyond natural experiences that calls to us, that we relate to, that we search for. You know what I mean? And you can find this all across the world. People, in fact, I've heard it said, if you want to, what's the separation between man and animals? How do you, you know, if you're a scientist and you believe in evolution and all that kind of things, how do you separate man from animals? And they said for a long time, they said, well, people play, animals don't play. Well, then they found out that animals do play. And I was listening to a podcast, they say, you can tickle rats with a pencil and they will laugh. Just it's so high pitched, you have to have special monitors to hear them. You have to slow it down, but the rats will laugh. And they used to say, well, it's making tools. But then they found, you know, there are chimpanzees that make tools and there are ravens that make tools. But there's one thing that someone put out there, and they said, it seems to be that man is the only animal that has that searches for God, that becomes religious, that has mystical experiences. And I thought, well, that's probably right there. That's probably right. Until we get to our society today, where we're so evolved that we have people now who have evolved beyond their humanity and gone back into being animals and ignoring God. Okay? But there's that religious, there's that spiritual element to every one of us. Okay? And so we want to understand that, maybe. And we want to say, how do I find God? How do I find God? And if I found God, how do I find him again? And if I've had an experience with God, how do I have another experience with God? How do I order my life in a way that gives me that opens me in the best way to having an encounter with God? Okay? And that's what I want to speak on. Because we've all had encounters with God. Yeah? And we'd all like to have more encounters with God. All right? And there's going to be some warning in this because, to be honest, an encounter with God does not change you necessarily. There are many people that had encounters with Jesus Christ and it didn't change them. But for some, it did change them. But I'm going to say we're not seeking after an encounter with God to, like you might go to a magician show. Okay, it's so interesting. I went to the state fair, who's been to the state fair? Yeah, okay. And you go down the road, and they've got this huge haunted house, and it's right where the parade starts. Okay, and you think, what's in a haunted house? And it's, you know, spooky music, and it's shadows, and it's darkness, and it's people trying to connect with something that's a little bit weird, a little bit strange. They're looking for an experience of something that they don't understand to lift them out of the boringness of mundane life. And that's why they go into the haunted house. All right? People go to music concerts and they'll lift their hands as one, and they'll sway as one, and they'll dance, and they'll get in the spirit. And why do they do that? Why are they attracted to it? It's because people want to have an experience that's outside the normal of their life, outside the mundane. They want a supernatural, they want a spiritual experience. And music is one of those things that can bring a spiritual experience. Okay? People go to cheer on the Vikings, you know, and they'll be in the stadium as well, and they'll all be chanting together and clapping their hands like they do. And if you experience that, I mean, I've seen it on video. I haven't been to the Vikings game, but if you see that, you experience a crowd in unison, and they're getting together around something that's greater than themselves, around something that's outside of the mundane. It's a spiritual experience that they're looking for, and they're finding it, a fulfillment of that in getting together for a church service at the Viking Stadium, which essentially that's what it is. Okay? There's something inside us that hungers. And when that's taken away, we search for something to fill it. And let's have a look at 1 Samuel chapter 28. Now, this is a little disorganized because I'm still going through this and trying to see how can I live my life? How can I order my life? All right. Now, there's a way. Well, let's just look at this for a second, okay? This is 1 Samuel chapter 28, and we'll start with verse 3. Now, Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented over him and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and wizards out of the land. And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord, the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And so there was a man who had lived and knew the inadequacy of his own reasoning, of his own power to overcome, and he knew the adequacy, he knew what he needed was a spiritual experience with God. But God wasn't answering him. And the reason God wasn't answering him was because he was living in a place of disobedience. And so that's the first thing, that if we want to encounter God, if we're seeking him, and we want to be open to him, we need to not be in a place of disobedience. Okay? But when he couldn't find God, he still knew there was, it was inadequate. What he had was inadequate. So he went for other spiritual help. You see? And so we don't want to be like that, to go to an evil place to try and bring something good. We want to see here that there's a desperation in Saul for a spiritual answer, to the point where he said, if I don't have a spiritual answer, I'm paralyzed. I can't do anything. But God loves Saul enough to give him a true spiritual answer, enough to allow Samuel to come and speak to him as a prophet, if we read on. Okay? Enough to have Samuel tell him, yeah, you'll be with me tonight. But think of that for a second. That there was Saul paralyzed by fear, not knowing what to do. But when he got that spiritual answer, when he heard from God, and when he knew that he was going to die tomorrow, he went out and he stood in front of his people and he led them into battle. And he didn't run away, but he faced them on the power of the spiritual message he'd received. Okay? Which is quite something. I think that's, you know, Lord, may you grant me that I never be in a position like Saul found himself. But Lord, if I'm ever in a position like Saul found himself, may you grant me the courage that he had to do the right thing. You know? Puts a little different thought on it. But seeking a spiritual encounter. Going to a spiritual place. Trying our best to keep in obedience with what God. So, people are searching for something real. Because they know there's something beyond. Now, part of this came from a conversation I had with a young man. He was talking about a friend of his. And the friend of his is into, how shall I say, he's looking for a spiritual experience as well. And he says, he'll go to a tree. And he'll put his hand against the tree. And he'll try to commune with the spirits. Okay? He'll go to a place, an ancient place of worship, and he'll go up and he'll try and worship and he'll try to connect with the spirit. What's he looking for? He's looking for a spiritual experience. And he's finding those spiritual experiences in those places. And he's saying, you know, I've found a reality that I can live in that's separate from Christian reality, but it's based in a spiritual experience. And that basing in a spiritual experience gives him something more powerful than just basing your experience in science and just material. No wonder we're going crazy as a country, because we're all based in, you know, the material. All right? And I thought, there's a young man who wants a spiritual experience and is looking for it and is finding it. And I'll be honest, I felt challenged by that. Because I believe this is the true word of God. And I've had spiritual experiences through the word of God. And I've had spiritual experiences in places when I've had God come down to me. But I wonder, Am I leaving myself? Am I closing myself off to all the experiences that God wants to bring to me by the way I live my life, by the things that I focus on? Okay. How many people have heard Brother Luik's testimony about moving a desk upstairs? Okay, yeah, Sister Laura has him. Well, I'll do a quick recap. I recorded a testimony. It's on the podcast. It's worth listening to. It's about 40 minutes long. And he says, angels are real. He says, I know angels are real. Okay. I know angels are real. He said, he became a Christian and his mum left his dad and completely emptied the house. Only left the furniture that was in the kids' bedrooms. And God came down and spoke to him and he said, if you don't do something, he said, your dad is going to commit suicide. And so he thought, what can I do? He said, what I'll do is I'll take the furniture that's in my room and I'll take it upstairs and I'll lay it out in my dad's room. So when he comes home, he'll have furniture in his bedroom. He said it was heavy oak stuff. He said he moved everything upstairs. The last thing he was moving upstairs was a big old desk. And he said he started pushing it up the stairs. He got to a 90-degree turn. He said, and he realized that he couldn't make the turn. And he said, and as he realized he couldn't make the turn, the desk started falling back on him, and he started falling back underneath the desk. And he said, Jesus cried out. And you know, that's one thing I wonder, are we doing enough of that? Are we bringing him on the scene by calling his name enough? Verbally, vocally, putting it out, the spoken word, asking him to be with us. Could that be one of the things that's preventing us from having encounters, is we're not speaking his name enough. We're not talking about him being present, about him being near, you know? And when he spoke the name, he said, the desk started moving upstairs. Said, dragged him upstairs, turned round the corner, and went up to the top landing. And the desk went down, and he said, he heard a voice that said, I like what you're doing. All right. And so he says, I've had experiences with angels. Because if you talk about him, if you talk about that, if you open yourself up to the reality of the spiritual, then you open yourself up to more spiritual encounters, to more spiritual experiences. You see? And so, if you want to listen to that whole thing, I can send you a link. But what I really want you to do is think about this. How can I live my life? How can I order my life away in such a way that I'm open to spiritual encounters that God wants to give me? Where can I encounter God? You know, we spoke on this, 1 Kings 8. Where can I encounter God? And God says, in the place I choose to put my name. And I'm going to preach on this sometime soon. Yeah, Don saw me jumping around at the back on my seat. Because there's something here. That it's entering into the place that God builds. And seeing the parallels all the way from Egypt to when Solomon built the temple, of how God moves in us. We'll get there one day. But it says here, Solomon in verse 6, and the priests brought the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord into his place, into the oracle of the house, to the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread forth their two wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubim covered the ark and the staves thereof above. And they drew out the staves, that the ends of the staves were seen, out in the holy place before the oracle, and they were not seen without, and there they are unto this day. And there was nothing in the ark save the two tabernacles of stone which Moses put there at Horeb, when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel, when they came out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house. They had a spiritual encounter. They had a spiritual experience. And why did they have a spiritual experience? Why? We've talked about this before when we were studying the tabernacle, how the Ark of the Covenant was lost in the time of Eli to the Philistines. And when it came back, it didn't come back to the tabernacle. It came back to another place. And when David took it to Jerusalem, he didn't put it in the tabernacle at Jerusalem. The tabernacle was at Shiloh. The Ark was in Jerusalem. And God says, I'll come down and I'll commune with you between the wings of the cherubim. By the way, just a little note. Brothers and sisters, I love that song. Commune with me. Commune with me. Between the wings. And then we got in the book of a cherubim. Well, that's grammatically incorrect. Cherubim is the plural of cherub. Okay, so if we're going to sing it, the cherubim is the correct way to sing it. Okay? But God said, I'll come down and I'll meet with you between the wings of the cherubim, in the tabernacle, in the holy place. And so for something like 200 years, God had not been able to come down in the holy place between the cherubim because the ark wasn't in the most holy place. And when everything was ordered correctly, and the outer court was ordered correctly, the inner court had all the furniture and was ordered correctly, and the ark was put there, God could come down. And so then we have to think, how are we ordering our lives? Are we keeping our outer court clean and in order for God? Well, what does that mean? That's our body. That's the way we interact with this physical realm. Okay, that's the words you say. That's the actions that you do. The things that you look. Are you keeping that in line? Is that ordered? Because if that's not ordered, then you can't have a spiritual encounter with God. Okay? I'm not going to say you can't have. God comes to sinners. God comes to anyone. But we want God to come to us, and we want to have our lives in order that when he wants to come, there's nothing preventing us. And then there's the inner court, that place spiritually. Is that in order? Are your thoughts on the right thing? Are you feeding yourself with the right thing? Are you ordering your life in a way that puts God first? Okay? Do you have the light of God guiding you in that inner place? Do you have your prayer life in order? And are you feeding yourself on the Word of God? Those are the three things that are inside that inner court that we can put just basically and simply. Is the light of God guiding you? Is your prayer life in order? And are you feeding yourself the Word of God? Because if you're not, then your inner court is not in order. And if your inner court is not in order and not placed correctly, I'm not going to say you can't have a spiritual encounter, but I'm going to say if God wants to come to commune with you, is he going to be able to? Is there something in the way? God is going to see you through. This isn't about, you know, you're going to be lost and cast off. And no, we don't worry about that. What we worry about is when God wants to talk to us, when God wants to commune with us, when we want to commune with God, when we want to ask him, won't you come to us? Do we have our lives in the right order that he can come to us and that we can have a spiritual experience? Okay? So the inner court was in the right place. The ark of God came to the right place. The Holy Spirit in the holiest of all. And God came down and said to Solomon, to the priests, to the nation of Israel, just as he said to Brother Luik, I like what you're doing. And he came down and he did something special. Okay. So, wouldn't it be nice to live in a way that when God wants to say, I like what you're doing, he can come down? I think that'd be a wonderful thing. But I see so many things in my life where I'm like, I'm not sure if God would like what I'm doing. And I wonder how much is that a hindrance for me living in the experience that God wants me to live in. Okay. Now, here's a good one. Acts 16. Man, this is a wonderful song. But I know pastors get in the habit of, you know, it's like this song just captures something and then they sing it a bit too much. And Brother Don, you're guilty of this one. Or at least you were a few years ago. God wants to hear you sing. Their chains were passing tight. Used to be closing pretty much every week, or it seemed that way. God wants to hear you sing. Why? He lives in the praises of his people. Let's have a look in verse 20, chapter 16, verse 20. And it says, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. When they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And they had a spiritual experience. Why? It wasn't anything to do with what they could feel, what they could touch. It wasn't anything to do with what was surrounded them. What was it to do with? Well, there's two things here that we can take. The first one, praise the Lord. He lives in the praises of his people. Praise the Lord. You can call him on his name and you can bring his presence. Praise the Lord. You can bring a spiritual experience by praising the Lord. How many have had that experience? Anyone? Yeah? Okay. I got some tired nods. Didn't have any hands lifted up, so. But I'll take the tired nod. That's okay. All right. The second thing is this. You want a spiritual experience? Get with a brother. Get with a sister. And praise the Lord together. Okay? And say, we're here. We're not going to be miserable about ourselves and our conditions. The Lord knows there's enough to be miserable about. We're going to be joyful in the communion that we share together, centered around the Lord Jesus. And he says, ah, I like it when you do that. That's kind of nice. I'm going to come and join in. You see? And so praise the Lord. Praise him together. These are things that we can do to bring a spiritual encounter. Now, when I say bring a spiritual encounter, we got to be very careful here. I want to be careful that you understand this. Okay? That you understand this. This is important. Because the Lord God isn't, well, how can I put it? The Lord God isn't a pet that we can call and summon and bring on at our pleasure. Okay? The Lord, it's not, oh, I think I'm going to have a spiritual experience. Let me do this, 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 and this, and the Spirit will come and I'll enjoy the spiritual experience. You can do that. Okay? You can do that. All right? So interesting. And Brother Brandon once said, the right mental attitude to any promise of God will bring it to pass. Okay? He didn't say the right spiritual attitude to any promise of God. He said the right mental attitude to any promise of God which means you only need to get the mental part right to bring the promise down. And that's why so many people have had experiences of healings, have had experiences of demons being cast out, have had experiences of worshiping in the spirit and doing great and marvelous works. Yeah? Because the right mental attitude will bring these things to pass. But the Lord says, oh, I'm sorry, I never even knew you. I was not a personal friend of yours. I was your Amazon delivery driver. Lord, I need a miracle. 3 p.m. today. Paid the price, you know, bring me my miracle. Lord, I need an encounter. All right? And you can treat God like that, but that's not what we're trying to do. Lord, I want to speak in tongues. And if we wanted to, and I trust we don't, all right, we could all start speaking in tongues. You might not know whether it was godly tongues, ungodly tongues, wouldn't know what you were saying. We would just need to all get into the same atmosphere and get ourselves hyped up. We could bring down the spirit of speaking in tongues right here, right now. Would it do us any good? I don't know. Okay. But what we're saying is, listen. One of the biggest regrets of my life is one time when Elisha was in hospital, I was staying with my grandmother. And I went up to fellowship at Brother Paul Baird's church. Okay? And my grandmother had flown out of town, so I was taking her car, and she asked me, can you pick me up at the airport at 4 o'clock? And I was at the church and the saints up there listened to the morning service. And Brother Paul took us out to lunch. He asked, would you speak in the afternoon service? Sure, no problem. And I got up to the front and I just felt it on my heart. Speak about the dangers of pornography on the internet. Okay. And I thought to myself, if I speak about this, I'm going to need to go into some depth on this. I need to go into some scriptures and lay a foundation. It's going to be quite a long service. Okay, I'm going to have to stay up here for a long time. And I thought to myself, and I have to go and pick up my grandmother from the airport at 4 o'clock, and it's an hour away. 45 minutes, an hour. And I thought, I'm going to preach on something else. And so I did. And then I went to the airport, and my grandmother's plane had been delayed for 3 hours. Okay? And so, here's the difference. One would be to go up to the front and say, I'm going to preach a 3-hour sermon and trust God's going to delay the plane. Okay? He's probably not, but you know. But the other is, God brought a spiritual encounter my way. And there was something in my mind, and there was something in the way that I thought about things and the way I added it up, that I didn't do what I was told. And I didn't have faith, and I didn't trust in God to follow his leading. And he delayed the flight, and I didn't be obedient. And that's what we're talking about, saying, how can I live my life in a way that when God wants to lead me, when God wants to give me a spiritual encounter, I'm open to it, I'm obedient, and I'm trusting to it, and I can recognize the difference between just a thought that's in my own mind of myself and a thought that's from God that will lead me to a spiritual encounter. And this is what we're trying to do, I believe. It's to say, I want that spiritual encounter. I don't want to force God to give me a spiritual encounter, but I want to be ready and open and receptive to anything that he would bring my way. And I want to be like the Hebrew children who said, hey, we're open, we're ready, we're receptive. God could deliver us, but if he doesn't, I'm still following his path. Okay? Now, we read about it in the Bible, how God delivered them. That is a wonderful testimony of faith, but let's have a look at some other testimonies of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Because there's two sides of this experience. In verse 32, what more shall I say? For time would fail to tell, fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, and of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, of Samuel, and all of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in flight, turned to flight the enemies of the armies of the aliens. Women received their life, their dead raised to life again. And then a little thought enters his mind. Okay? And he says, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. I don't know for sure, but I believe the most compelling thing I've read about Hebrews is it's a record of one of Paul's sermons. Okay? It wasn't written as a letter, which is why it's stylistically different from his other letters. And it's not... But he's there, and he's talking of these heroes of faith. And then did his mind turn from Abraham and from David and from the slaying of Goliath? Did it turn to Stephen? And he said, there's a man who's a hero of faith. And I was there and I killed him. And he said, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains, in dens and in caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they, without us, would not be made perfect or complete. But here's the point. Both of those groups of people had their lives in the right order that they could have a spiritual experience. Some of it's a spiritual experience that we would love to be identified. Oh, wouldn't you love to be David, slaying Goliath? No. Some of it, spiritual experiences, maybe we'd rather not be recognized. How many people would love to be Stephen standing there being stoned to death? I mean, Lord, if you give me a choice, can I have the victorious side and not the one where I have to die a horrible death? All right. But either way, let me live my life that I can have that experience and be a witness for you. So we're not trying to judge what kind of experience God will bring to us. We're not trying to tell God, this is how I want my miracles to come. This is how I want my answers to prayer to come. We're trying to say, God, I know you're there. I know you answer prayer. Won't you come and answer my prayer? Won't you give me an experience, Lord? I want to be close to you. Okay? Children are lovely. They always want to be close to their parents. So they get to be teenagers and then... You know, and then they get in their 20s and they want to be close to their parents again. Okay? But this is the thing. We can tell God, I want to be close to you. And sometimes he's going to say, I'm a little bit busy right now. Go and sort that out on your own. Sometimes he's going to say, yeah, now's the time for me to be close to you. But if we're not open to that, we don't have faith, if we don't have the expectation, are we living in expectation? How real is our expectation? Listen to Mark 16. as we say, according to some modern scholars, the least inspired part of the Bible. And according to some people, if this is the least inspired part of the Bible, praise God, because it's a good low bar. You know, it just gets better from here, folks. Okay? So, verse 14, and afterwards he appeared to the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of hearts, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And if Jesus himself was here, and he was talking to us, and talking to us about the problems that we've been going through, you know, he told the truth. There are the disciples, and they're rowing out on the ocean. A storm comes up, and it's so overwhelming till even the most experienced of them, who's been at sea since they were boys, fishermen, their fathers were fishermen, okay? Sure, they've got some people who may not know what they're doing aboard with them, tax collectors, and probably didn't know much about rowing a boat, but there they are. And they get to the point where they say, we are about to die. Okay? I'm sure it started with the more experienced sailors laughing at the people on the land, saying, oh, this is nothing. This is nothing like the storms we've been out in. And got to the point where they're like, this is serious. This is between life and death. We better wake Jesus up because he's sleeping in the boat. He's so exhausted that all of this commotion hasn't... He must have been pretty tired. And he wakes them up. And what does he say? Ah, he doesn't say, oh, you poor babies. I'm glad you brought me on the scene. It's like, oh, ye of little faith. Couldn't even let me take a nap, huh? Okay. Peace be still. What was he saying there? What would he say to us? Do we have more ability to change the situations we're in through our own faith and the Word of God than we are currently using? Because that's what, as far as I can read it, that's what he's telling the disciples. If you had more faith, you wouldn't have needed to wake me up. All right? Now, I'm not saying it's a bad thing they woke him up, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing to call on Jesus, but I'm asking you, what would he say to you if you called on, if we called on him tonight, and we went through and we said, Lord, here's my problem. This is what I'm struggling to overcome. This is the healing that I need. This is the situation of my life. And he'd say, I'll take care of it, but oh my goodness, you have little faith. Would he say that to us? Chances are, yes. Why? Because we're just like the disciples, not separate from God. It's not you're on your way to hell. It's just, oh, ye of little faith, your hard hearts and your lack of faith has caused you to call me on the scene because you didn't believe. Well, just saying, you know, these are things that we should consider in our lives, as we're striving to follow him, as we're striving to have these experiences, how are we ordering our lives? Are we living in the faith that he gave us? And he said unto them, verse 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth preaching everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the words with signs following. It's a challenge, you know. It's a challenge to me. The Lord confirms the word with signs following, like Gideon said, oh my Lord, if God be with us, where are all the miracles? No? All right? Where is the God of Elijah? And so, what's our expectation as we walk around? Is our expectation that the angels of God are camped about them that fear him? And that as I walk around, the angels of God are camped about me. Alright? Are we walking in that right expectation? Now, there's a balance to everything as well. You know, there's churches that do snake handling and they'll bring out poisonous snakes and they'll... it's so interesting. That's actually... in Crete, there was a pagan religion that had exactly that same symbolism of, you know, carrying snakes around. So it's really interesting. The spirits don't die. They just tweak a little and they remanifest. Okay? Yeah. And so I'm not saying let's bring in the viper pits and let's, you know, handle snakes in the faith of Jesus. But what I'm saying is, this is a scripture that we're called to. Are we putting it into action in our lives? Are we having those spiritual experiences that God wants to give us? Not the ones that we want to bring, the ones that God wants to give us, but can't because we're not ordered our life right. Yeah. Let's have a look at Acts chapter 24. Just in closing, we've got a few more thoughts here that I want to go through. Verse 24, it says, "And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled." Felix had a spiritual experience, and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Almost persuaded now to believe." Okay? So, are you open without reservations in trust and faith that God can bring these things to you? No. So, I'm going to ask you a question directly. All right? Have you ever sat in church and felt like speaking in tongues and just opening your mouth and praising God, but you haven't because, well, this is Minnesota, you know, we don't do things in the church that way. Have you ever sat in church and just felt an inkling to start praising God and clapping and crying, and you haven't because, well, you got to look after the kids and, you know. Have you ever sat in church and felt like shouting, but no one around you has been shouting, and so it's just, you haven't followed that leading? How much is there that God has planted as a small seed in our life that we haven't watered? Now, I'm not saying it's all about shouting. I'm not saying it's all about speaking in tongues or, you know, crying in church. But what I am saying is this. Every body of believers has gifts in it. And I'm not talking about me or Sister Laura on the piano or the fine voice of Brother Nate. I'm talking about the spiritual gifts. Okay? Every one of us has a place in God's kingdom. But are we being too reserved, saying, well, not today, another day, and looking around us and not being open? How many of us have thought of shouting and thought, well, maybe I'll put somebody else off. Maybe if I start crying, people get upset, it'll disturb the spirit. You have to trust in God. Maybe you think I'm listening to a wrong spirit. God will protect you from wrong spirits if you're open to him and you're under his word and you're in order. Are we missing spiritual experiences? Maybe you wanted to go to someone and to talk to them, and you thought, oh, they're too busy. Oh, they won't listen to me. Maybe it's something as simple as singing a special in church, and you're like, well, I don't have as fine a voice as Brother Nate. I won't sing a special, you know. Well, if I can sing specials, and you can sing specials, but I'm saying, how are you responding to the seeds that God is planting to try and blossom up a garden in your life, a garden of blessings, not for you, for others, but you will be blessed in blessing others. Okay? Trust in God. Where can we encounter God? In the place that he put his name. Where has he put his name? Well, if you've been paying attention to Brother Don, I'm sure you have. He's put his name on his church, on his people, in the hearts of you and me. So where can you count with God? Anywhere that you like. Anywhere that he likes is really the honest answer, better answer. But where can you stop God from coming? Anywhere you like as well. Set your mind on things above. Set your mind on heavenly dimensions. Be open to what God is doing. And be searching. Not trying to drag God down from heaven. But saying, just that young man, you know, trying to commune with spirits. Is it this tree? No, not getting anything. Well, let's try this tree. Not getting anything. Oh, maybe it's this tree. Oh, I'm getting a little something. You see? But just being open and saying, I'm not going to force anything. I'm not going to force any emotion, but I'm not going to force any connection, but I'm going to say, Lord, is it today you're going to speak with me? That would be really nice. Lord, it's 9 o'clock, I'm just starting work. Are you going to speak to me this hour? It'd be nice if you did. No, that's fine, I still love you. Lord, it's 10 o'clock, I'm working. But I'd love to have an encounter with you if you're open to it. I'm open to it. I'd love to feel the presence of your angels. I'd love you to drop a little word in my heart. Well, no. Lord, it's 10:30. Maybe now. You know. And if you're approaching him with a cleaned out heart, with an in order life, in obedience to him, with an openness and a searching, you know. You have a little cute girl at home that says, Daddy, can we do this? No, I'm busy. Daddy, please, can we go and do this? I'm busy, I'm sorry. 5 minutes later, Daddy, please, are you done yet, Daddy? It's like, oh, I want to be with you. It's like, see Brother David laughing there. Daddy, please. Oh, all right, we'll go do it just for 5 minutes, then I got to get back and do this, you see? And if a child can touch the heart of a human father in that way, by being open, by being receptive, okay, by being obedient, all right? You didn't tell me to go away, so it's 5 minutes gone by and I'm back. But okay, now you have to go away because I am busy, okay? But no, I'm kind of busy, but... Oh, that means I can ask again in 5 minutes. You done yet, Daddy? Okay. Some of you young ones used to remember doing this, right? So, but what I'm saying is that something that we can do in our walk with God to order our lives right, to be seeking a spiritual encounter, and to say, Lord, when you're ready, I'd enjoy it if you came down and gave me a spiritual experience. came close to me. That's the end of what I have to say. But may it be the beginning of us thinking maybe in a slightly different way. Maybe seeking God in a slightly different way. Maybe asking him, Lord, am I right? Am I obedient? Am I clean? Will you come and be with me? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and we thank you for your love. Thank you that you do want to be with us. Lord, we want to be with you, but like small children, maybe we haven't been prepared or approached you in the right way or been as open, or we've been thoughtless and our attention's been on other things. Father, help us keep our minds stayed on you. Help us, Lord, to be open to your leading. Help us, Lord, to be pleasing to you. And give us, Lord, spiritual experiences, spiritual encounters that you have for us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You want to come and dismiss? Okay. Well, what shall we sing? God Still Moves. That's a good one. God still moves. God still moves. Oh, in the heart of his people, God still moves. He does not sleep, nor does he slumber, but God still moves. God still moves. Oh, God still moves. God still moves in the heart of his people. God still moves. He does not sleep, nor does he slumber, but God still moves. God still moves. So he's looking for willing hearts to move in. He's looking for hearts that will obey him. Hearts that will be open. And we're on that journey to the place where God wants us to be. Amen? We're on that journey. I believe every one of us is on that journey. But we haven't made it there yet. If God can get his hands truly on us the way he wants to have his hands truly on us, God can meet us every time that he wants to meet us. And we're attentive to him. We're trusting. We're in faith with him. It's like, God, you still move. I believe that. All right? Move in me. Let's take it from God still moves to God is moving in me. You see what I mean? Let's make it personal. Let's take it away from that place where it's in the abstract. No. Not God can move. God will move. But God has moved. God is moving. Okay? Open your hearts to him. We'll sing it through one more time, then maybe Brother David, you come up and dismiss us in a word of prayer. God still moves. Oh, God still moves in the heart of his people. God still moves. He does not sleep, nor does he slumber. God still moves. God still moves.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this meeting. And Lord, every time we call out to you in desperation, you always come, Lord. We thank you for that so much, Lord. You're always there for us, Lord. We thank you for that. And even Saul, Lord, when he said, Lord, may I just worship you one more time? Samuel turned to him and he got to worship one more time, Lord, even after all you've done, Lord. We just thank you so much, Lord. And ask now we go our ways, Lord. We be a good witness out there for all those around us, Lord. In your name we pray these things. Amen.
Amen. God bless you all.